We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
What is up, Nets fans? Welcome to Brooklyn Buzz. I'm Nick Fay. With me, as always, Jack Manuel. Jack, how are we doing?
Hashtag Blake back.
Hashtag Blake back. Jeff Green gone. Free agency has started pretty slow for the Nets right now. We're going to discuss that and some more. Jack, as always, the listeners can find us on the Brooklyn Buzz on all streaming platforms. But where do you want to start? Do you want to start with Blake Griffin being back with the Brooklyn Nets as expected?
Yeah, always the good news first, Nick, rather than the bad news. That's always my mode of thinking, my mentality. Really positive to hear. You know, obviously, it seems likely that it'll be a vet minimum of some sort. What Blake contributed to us in the postseason, especially the immense value that he gave us as a hustle dude playing at the five. You know, he was a better Giannis stopper than DeAndre Ayton. And, you know, if the Suns had Blake Griffin, who knows how the finals would have gone. But Blake Griffin provided so much of this team, you know, sparks offensively, great locker room presence, really fun personality to have, really easy guy to root for. And he made himself, you know, he wore that black and white with pride. And he did so much, and we're lucky to have him back. And it's going to be interesting to see now that he's got a bit of an offseason ahead of him, what his role continues to be going forward. But it's very positive because, you know, the big man stocks and losing Jeff Green obviously wasn't positive, but at least we've got a little bit of good news.
Yeah, I mean, Blake being back is huge. I mean, that's a quality big that has versatility to his game, is still very skilled at this point in his career. And like you said, I thought he adapted to his role with the Nets ideally. Like, he killed my expectations for what I had of him. I was hoping maybe just, you know, 10, 20 minutes off the bench. I wasn't sure what he's going to do in the postseason. Like you said, against the Bucks, he was awesome. You know, he played 30 minutes a game. Nets probably aren't able to push that to a game seven due to the injuries without Blake Griffin on the roster. You love the grittiness. You know, you kind of love the asshole vibes that he brings to the team a little bit. You know, talking shit to PJ Tucker. You need one of those guys. Blake has no problem being that guy. And like you kind of mentioned, Jack, offseason working in his role, adapting to his new teammates. I mean, I think Blake will be even better on the Nets next season, just having a little bit more chemistry, a better understanding of what he needs to do. And I think he, like, almost gradually got healthier as he was playing with the Nets. You know what I mean? Like, he started moving better in the postseason. He played over 30 minutes a game in that Bucks series. And, like, some of those games, it felt like he was playing close to 40. So I'm happy to have him back. I really enjoyed him being on the Nets.
Absolutely. I think offensively, especially, we saw what he provided for us. And, you know, in certain matchups in the postseason, you know, the Bucks obviously losing PJ Tucker and such, and, you know, the Miami Heat, I think he's going to be a fun matchup to have against, you know, the upper echelon teams in the East. Blake has proven that he can provide value on both ends of the floor, you know, surprise both of us, especially me, in terms of his defense. But enough of Blake, Nick. We could go on for a little bit longer, but, you know, it's a pretty simple deal. But, you know, the offseason for the Nets right now is anything but simple, because there's signings happening left, right, and center. But Sean Marks must be on the longest phone call of all time about Spencer Dinwiddie sign and trade, or Bruce Brown's extension, or whatever else is happening there, because, you know, it's a little bit of a stalemate that's currently happening in Brooklyn. And do you think the reason why is because Spencer Dinwiddie's sign and trade is probably the most complex deal that any team has to sort of figure out, alongside, I guess, a Dennis Schroeder one?
Yeah, I mean, it could be holding up things a touch, but at the same time, I think a lot of these guys the Nets are kind of competing for, I guess, in a sense. Lakers looking at the same guys, you know, the Warriors are probably looking at the same guys. You have, you know, different names that are kind of you know, filing through the different offers they have out there and deciding, do I want to take the money? Do I want to take the championship run? Do I want to live on the East Coast? Do I want to live on the West Coast? And they're probably waiting for some of these other dominoes to fall. And now you're starting to really see some of the cap space dry up, some of the exceptions dry up. So now I think this is where you see some of those guys decide, like, hey, you know, I'm going to go with Brooklyn. We heard some rumors about Otto Porter. You know, Rudy Gay was mentioned earlier on. We got the stuff with Patty Mills. So I think the Nets are active, but they're not necessarily like, you know, sold on one guy. I think Sean Marks has his hands on a lot of different pieces right now. And I still think that Spencer Dinwiddie, like you mentioned, is a big piece. But at the end of the day, they have to kind of look at the other stuff too at the same time. It's just a waiting game. And I think to an extent, I know I'm rambling on a little bit. To an extent, last year with all the tampering stuff, I feel like some of the contracts are taking a little bit longer and just kind of making it look like it's kind of happening later instead of them instantly signing. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we see a signing as soon as we're done recording this, because that's what happens.
It happens so often with any podcast on the OTD network, especially the Brooklyn Buzz. But I think the thing that's most upsetting, Nick, is Jeff Green going. I think that we can't underestimate the value and the production that he gave the Brooklyn Nets, and not just the postseason. That game five performance, you know, is one for the ages. You know, it almost goes unheralded because Kevin Durant had an epic game, one for the ages in itself. But, you know, Jeff Green's, I think it was 27 or 29, whatever it was.
27, and he had the ridiculous amount of threes.
When support was needed, Jeff Green was there, and unfortunately, the plantar fascia injuries started to catch up with him. Not necessarily the easiest injury to play through. And, you know, he's heading to Denver on a two-year, $10 million deal, which is certainly frustrating because the Nets had that money with the taxpayer mid-level exception to offer. And now it's going to be, you know, who else, like you mentioned, is it Rudy Gay we give that money to? Is it Patty Mills we give that money to? Hopefully it is, because losing Jeff Green, I think we're going to see throughout, you know, the regular season as well as the postseason. Maybe not the postseason because we didn't see as much of Jeff, especially in the latter points of the Bucks series. But, man, his absence is going to be sorely, sorely missed.
Yeah, it really is. And I think, I guess the viewpoint from the Nets is, you know, maybe they thought last year was an outlier season. They thought they could upgrade the spot, or they could, you know, get another cheap option to kind of fill his role. Because like you said, they did probably have the opportunity to re-sign him given that taxpayer mid-level exception. And that's kind of the number we anticipated the whole time. And that's really what he got. So it feels like it was kind of almost the Nets' decision to let him go, because even the most recent reports had him as a favorite to land with either Miami or Boston and didn't really mention the Nets. So interesting stuff on the Jeff Green front, especially considering he's a KD and James Harden guy. I just must think that Sean Marks think there's a better piece they can fill in, or maybe there's somebody else in the roster or a different style they're looking to play. I'm not really sure the exact details.
It sucks, Nick. You know, I'm going to put it out there that if Sean Marks doesn't make upgrades or at least replacements to that Jeff Green spot, you know, it's going to be a blemish on, you know, an otherwise pretty flawless record that he has had as the Brooklyn Nets GM. Obviously, he's had his mistakes along the way, but the Jeff Green signing was the vet minimum signing of the year, maybe of the millennium. Who would have thought that the value that the Nets get out of Jeff Green as the fifth starter and, you know, the second star at one point in the postseason? So I think that this is going to be a big loss, and I'm already missing Jeff, Uncle Jeff, and those dunks that he's going to keep on throwing, and he's probably going to throw them for Denver for quite a while. And I don't know why, you know, a part of me hopes that it's Jeff actually wanting to get a different start, a different set of challenges, rather than Sean Marks. But, you know, I'm sure we'll find that out in due course. But to me, I like you sort of mentioned, Nick, you know, the established relationship there with KD and James Harden, the immense leadership and chemistry that he provided the Brooklyn Nets. You know, I'm always going to remember the turning point of that Detroit Pistons loss. Yep. And Jeff Green's like, you know what, we need to play defense. We need to actually establish ourselves an identity on the defensive side of the floor, and then the offense will come. And then, you know, who would have thought that from that point forward, the Nets start to play a little bit of defense. And yeah, Jeff Green's locker room presence is going to be as missed as a lot of the production that he did provide on the basketball court. And he provided quite a bit in saying that as well. You know, his value, I don't think, can be underestimated, Nick.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's that Swiss Army knife. You know, he does so many different things for your team. He offers extreme levels of versatility offensively, defensively. Obviously, on offense, can be the roll man, has a three-point shot, occasionally can create for himself, likes to run in transition. Defensively, you know, extreme switchability. I don't think he really defends anybody at like an elite level, but he's able to switch on so many guys and play at a good level. My mindset just has to be that Sean Marks is looking to upgrade a specific aspect of whatever Jeff Green was doing, because I think Jeff Green overall and in comparison to a lot of the guys is good in a lot of categories, but he's not great or elite other than maybe like poster dunks. Obviously, he had the great shooting season, but I wouldn't anticipate him shooting 40% again. So Sean Marks just must have confidence in another area or he's going to be able to land somebody else. That's the only thing that really would make sense to kind of let the guy go.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of reasons to it, and hopefully you are right in that respect, or else I'm going to provide a little bit of criticism to the man that I call the Kiwi Wizard. Maybe he's losing some of his powers. I don't know. Maybe he's turning a bit more muggle-like. I've got enough references to go for days, but I will stop. But yeah, I think what he's going to provide Denver is a certain upgrade that they'll need. You know, in terms of, you know, when Michael Porter Jr., they need a bit more defense out there. You've got Jeff Green to sort of throw in. It's just going to be, you know, like you mentioned, you're sort of the Swiss Army knife. I don't know whether he's like a German Army knife or some other European country, but he's almost a better version of a Swiss Army knife because, like you mentioned, everything that he did out on the floor, he was just good, and he was good or above average. You know, there weren't many weaknesses to his game. You know, he played solid defense. He shot the ball way above average. He was able to create himself for himself a little bit in the post every now and then. You know, he moved the ball well. You know, there weren't many times throughout this regular season where I'm like, man, Jeff Green underperformed for the Brooklyn Nets tonight. It's just like, you know what, Uncle Jeff. And it was like the ultimate compliment that we gave to him and the ultimate level of reliability that you want out of a vet guy. And hopefully it is Rudy Gay or Patty Mills, Nick, because if there isn't some semblance of an upgrade, the depth of the Brooklyn Nets could become, you know, a bit of a worrying issue. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be the end of the world and, you know, the rosters still have many. You know, we have still the trade deadline in February to have the full construction of this team. But at this point in time, you know, the Nets certainly aren't, you know, in the box seat in terms of what their rotation is. You know, we've got our superstar big three. You got Joe Harris, who's obviously his stock has certainly dipped quite a bit. And then who else is it, Nick? At this point in time, you have to wait. You know, is Spencer going to come back, or is there going to be some sort of machination of a three-way trade, which could get another team involved? Now, I'm pretty pro KCP. Obviously, that would, you know, require some level of finagling as well. But if we get KCP out of this sign and trade deal, then all my reservations are immediately eased.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think right now in free agency, what we're still looking for Sean Marks to do is add another wing or forward, you know, whatever it is. And then you're probably looking for that veteran center. Just it's a given that DeAndre is probably out at this point or at like some point in the season. And then you still need the backup point guard. Obviously, you have Javon Carter, but you'd like to get in a guy, possibly Patty Mills or somebody else. So, and then you, if you could squeeze in KCP, that'd be awesome. You know what I mean? I'm intrigued to see what happens with Washington and the Nets in that sign and trade scenario, given that so much cap space has really dried up for a lot of the other teams that could potentially sign Spencer. And like you kind of hinted at, Jack, I wouldn't rule out a possibility of him coming back. His market doesn't seem great. We have the report of $16 million. Not sure if that's correct. I believe he opted out of $15 million. So I don't know. I wouldn't I thought going into it, there's close to zero chance, probably less than 10%. I'd probably move it up to 25% at least right now, just because there's not great options. And then that's kind of had the leverage. Like, they have to agree to a sign and trade to Washington. Washington has no other avenue to acquire.
Yeah, and that's probably as well holding up the Bruce Brown deal, which would, you know, automatically, I didn't mention his name because, you know, right now he is a restricted free agent. And I think that I'm not necessarily worried about that, but, you know, I think that a lot of what's happening with Spencer Dinwiddie and Washington, and the fact that we heard it from Shams, and we know, you know, for those that aren't necessarily, you know, clued in on Twitter, you know, Shams and Spencer Dinwiddie seem to have as good a friendship as you and I sometimes, Nick, you know.
Yep.
He's always hyping him up, saying, like, you know, Shams over Woj, all this sort of stuff. So when the news is going to – we're not going to get a Woj bomb when it comes to Spencer Dinwiddie. It's going to be a Shams bomb. And, you know, make sure we got the notifications on for that. But, yeah, I'm hoping that there is a decent return. Look, at the very least, Kyle Kuzma, and maybe you get Robin Lopez as well sometime. I have no idea how that would work, but, you know, Robin Lopez is a Washington Wizard right now as well. Maybe you sign him, and it's some weird sign and trade. I'm not good with the salary cap stuff as much as you are, but, you know, Robin Lopez gives you that sort of backup big that we've been wanting. There's still talk about the Brooklyn Nets and offloading DeAndre Jordan to, you know, an OKC or some other team like that. I don't want to just offload him for nothing, because there's no point in doing that unless you're adding to the rotation and replacing him. Then you just
throw something at you, Jack. Derek Favors, if you dropped him off in OKC on a salary dump, Derek Favors was just salary dump there. So maybe you kind of do the rotation. Favors not the best player, but he'd be a substantial upgrade over DJ.
I'd be a big fan of that, Nick. You know, former Brooklyn Net, great. It seems to me we say that a lot.
New Jersey Net, great.
My apologies, Nick. But, yeah, I'm all for that. I think that would be a nice little upgrade. And, you know, we talked about names like Cody Zeller and these sort of guys. I think Derek Favors has got something left in the tank. And I think that in the role that he would be required to play, you know, I think he provided a semblance of leadership and mentorship, to, you know, to Clax. He just always been a relatively solid player, not necessarily the best fit in Utah last season, but I think, you know, that a lot of that is, you know, the Rudy Gobert and Derek Favors fit, whereas I think, you know, Derek Favors would be able to play just straight five. And he's not necessarily the oldest guy either. He's not 35 or necessarily washed. You know, he's, as I like to say, he's rinsing a little bit. I don't think he's totally washed by any stretch yet, and he'd certainly be an upgrade over DJ. So, yeah, if Sam Presti's got his phone on, then hopefully, you know, he's got Sean Marks's number.
Yeah, I just want to double check. I want to say Derek Favors had like a really weird season when he signed for New Orleans for a quick minute. I don't know if that's correct. Yeah, he did. He signed in New Orleans in between Utah and Utah. And he had like a really weird season, a lot of injuries. And then it felt like he started to kind of get his groove a little bit back with Utah last season. But like you said, playing such a limited role, Gobert hogs all those minutes, and then they do occasionally play small. So then it's like, okay, I think Favors, like you said, playing true five in Brooklyn would make more sense. And he'd probably excel a little bit more. Not necessarily the biggest guy in terms of height, but does have more of like that girth and size.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So we'll wait and see how that all pans out, because, you know, a big, a point guard, and a wing. You know, there's certain needs that the Brooklyn Nets have right now. I think that, I'm not sure whether, like, we chatted about this in the DMs and stuff, but Patty Mills right now is at the Olympics, and he has a game, you know, in about 8 or 9 hours against the Argentinian team. And in about an hour and a bit, we've got Kevin Durant suiting up for the Team USA. Whether those things are having any impact on the current free agency of both the team as well as Patty Mills individually, it certainly wouldn't surprise me, because while I'm sure that, you know, both of these guys have the utmost trust in their agents and to sort of figure things out, I think that it we can't underestimate that might be some sort of an issue, and we might have to wait till, you know, tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening, whenever else it might be, to see something related to Patty Mills. But man, I'd be pretty heartbroken if he puts on the purple and gold and not the black and white. I understand the green and gold looks good on him, but I think purple's his color.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Jack, that's an excellent point. I mean, if the Nets are really focused on Patty Mills being their guy, obviously we had a report from Billy Reinhart that they were looking at him. Then we've seen a previous report, a more recent report saying that the Nets were unlikely to land him. We don't really know how true that is. Things can change drastically in the free agent world. So if that's their focus, maybe that's holding up their taxpayer mid-level exception type thing. And like you said, maybe after that they look at Otto Porter, maybe they look at Bryn Forbes, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm sure what's on their list. And just a quick note on Bruce Brown. I think on the Bruce Brown front, given he's a restricted free agent, you haven't heard a single peep about him, and the salary cap continuing, the salary around the league starting to dry up. the likelihood of him re-signing for the Nets on a value contract is more and more likely. And I think that's more positive, because if I'm Bruce Brown's agent, I'm telling him not to sign the Nets deal until I'm 100% sure no one's going to give me an offer sheet to at least force the Nets' hand. So that's probably what he's doing right now. And like a lot of people have mentioned, no news on Bruce Brown front is good news.
Yeah, and I think that when we talked about, you know, free agents with Corey Walton on the outlet, we sort of saw, you know, different rumors linked to certain players, and players like Tim Hardaway Jr., who was just talked about with the Dallas Mavericks, ended up re-signing with the Dallas Mavericks. So when you don't hear necessarily little peeps from Woj or Shams, or even just random dudes like Legion Hoops or NBA Central, that's generally when it's a positive sign. So there's no semblance of discomfort for me when it comes to Bruce Brown's Brooklyn Nets future. But, you know, when it comes to Spencer Dinwiddie and some, and just other players, you know, deepening our rotation, which I think is, you know, I think it might be underestimated as well, Nick, that, you know, this is a shorter offseason still. It's not necessarily the rapid comeback that we saw in between the bubble and this year, but it's still a shortened preseason. And it's going to require, like we said in last year's pod, a semblance of guys of depth. You know, the Nets obviously have injury-prone superstars. They're going to need a Patty Mills. They're going to need a Rudy Gay or whoever else, or whatever other names that you want to throw out there. Because, you know, a lot of these other names have been snagged up by other contending teams, be it the Lakers, the Mavericks, or the Miami Heat. So the Nets are going to need to make some moves. And, you know, I want to preach patience, but I'm an impatient man. Let's put it that way, Nick.
Yeah, I would give it 2 or 3 days. You know, I think, you know, the first day is still usually star-driven, the deals that are really, like, focused on specific players. And given what the Nets have and what they're trying to attract, I think it's going to take a little bit longer. And like you said, if, let's say Sean Marks is working on a trade with Washington right now, and we don't know the details, and he's acquiring two players in that trade. Now that's changing a little bit what's going to be on the roster, what his needs are, how much space he really has to work with. But then also you got to look around the league too, is like, I don't want to, you know, show my hand too early, because now you look at a team like Chicago. They just got on Lonzo Ball. They just got on Alex Caruso. They're going to be looking to drop some salary. Thad Young, a guy that we both like with the Nets, could be a real possibility now. You know, there's some different other avenues that can become available just given all the movement we're seeing. So sometimes it's hard to be patient, but sometimes that can lead to you getting a steal.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I totally get what you're saying. And like I sort of said a little bit earlier, is that, you know, the Brooklyn Nets team didn't fill out until February, March last year. And we saw that, you know, the added pieces in LaMarcus Aldridge while he was a Brooklyn Net, and Blake Griffin and these sort of dudes in the buyouts, you know, provided, you know, a lot of value. And obviously, you know, there were plenty of tryouts for a heap of other guys along the way as well. But I'm sure that we'll be getting news sooner rather than later. But we did get some news about, you know, I guess former Brooklyn Nets. Maybe we do having to actually, you know, re-sign some of these guys. But the Nets did not extend qualifying offers to Chris Chiosa and Mike James, Nick. Now, I'm sure you're ecstatic about the Mike James news of it all. But yeah, in saying that, is this a surprise in any way or fashion?
No, I think after we saw the Bucks series and these guys couldn't get minutes and the Nets desperately needed a guard to step up and they didn't feel comfortable using these guys, I think, you know, it screams they want an upgrade. You know, even just being a vet that just is capable of playing those playoff minutes where these guys were, you know, Mike James was inconsistent. Nets obviously didn't feel comfortable with Chiosa, and I don't think, you know, Chiosa's done enough to really earn that spot on a championship team.
Look,
I think Chiosa might have been banged up at that time, so he couldn't even play.
True. And I will say that one of my favorite cheese moments, the crossover. Dear Lord, he got Kevin Durant out of his seat. He got me out of my seat as well. And, you know, Mike James, game 3 or game 2, I can't remember when he had that sort of big burst, 13 points or 12, 13 points, where he sort of stepped up in the absence of Kyrie Irving. I thought that he provided, you know, some good value. You know, a guy coming over from the overseas, Russia or wherever the heck it was, and to just come in and produce the way that he did, I think deserves a heap of credit. You know, obviously, you probably will disagree with that, but, you know, I'll put out some...
No, I think he did great for the situation he was in. You know, like, he came straight from freaking Russia, hopped on a plane, played basketball with the Nets. He talked to Steve Nash for like a couple minutes before he played in that game. But Jack, we do have breaking news. It's not related to the Nets, but I just thought it was funny because I mentioned this guy as being a potential PJ Tucker replication on the Nets, and the Bucks just signed him, Semi Ojeleye, to fill in that PJ Tucker role. So that's, I don't know, I wouldn't call him a Nets target because it was more of our flyer list, but still kind of interesting. And do you think that the Tucker loss is pretty big for the Bucks in terms of their matchup with the Nets?
To an extent, because I think it was overrated the impact that he did have, especially, you know, he is an incredibly matchup dependent defender. But the loss, if the Nets were to happen to go against the Milwaukee Bucks in some form of postseason series this year, it certainly eases. It's like, what, you're going to force Chris Middleton to play a heap of those positions. You know, Kyrie and Katie were going out of their way to make Giannis look silly, even though he is an incredible defender, better help defender than he is an isolation defender. But it certainly hurts them in some respects. But I don't think the loss is as pronounced as saying, you know, the Nets and losing Jeff Green.
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair. Just given, I think for the Nets matchup specifically against the Bucks, it has a pretty big impact. It's always hard to say with Jeff Green because we saw him in such a limited amount of time. I feel like he was just more of an annoyance to Kevin Durant, not as much, you know, greatly defending him. But at the same time, an annoyance has its value, especially on that home court when they're not calling fouls. I guess, Jack, before we get out of here, if you had a wish list or a mock-up for what you want the Nets to do over the course of the next 24 to 48 hours, what are you thinking?
Give me Gay, give me Mills. Need them both in my life. I need them more than life and air itself, because the way this Brooklyn Nets team is currently constructed is leaving me, you know, not with the high amount of worries, Nick. I'm not, you know, anxious or whatever. I've got to do some mindfulness and chuck on, you know, some of the Daily Calm app. But, you know, there's certainly a part of me that just, I think that I have an insatiable nature when it's this time of year, and I want the Nets to be in the news. And, you know, we've got the big three. You know, if the Nets announced the big three extension, then I couldn't care less about, you know, Jeff losing Jeff Green or whatever. But there isn't a lot of Nets stuff, and it's great to have Blake back. And I will say, Nick, that losing Jeff Green, it's, I'm not sure if it's the same reasons, or we never really found out about Garrett Temple, but I think we kind of did. The Garrett Temple loss was, it kind of reminds me of that, because, you know, the Nets had a rotation player who was a really good veteran locker presence. You know, had it, he was probably more, a lot more inconsistent than Jeff Green was, but he did have a larger role as well. But it does, they do provide me, you know, similar sort of vibes. And, you know, both of those guys, if they were still Brooklyn Nets right now, then I'd be in a much better headspace.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit less upset about the Jeff Green stuff. I get it. Like, he was productive last year, but I still, like, am under the impression, just watching Jeff Green my whole life, am I sure that you could count him to do that again? I'm not sure. Maybe the Nets know something more about the foot injury. And I think, like, maybe there's something behind the scenes where part of the reason that they feel like they were so deficient in certain times was that they were playing so undersized, and maybe they're envisioning Nick Claxton taking on a bigger role and taking on some of that Jeff Green stuff. I don't think it's much from the offensive perspective, but defensively, if that's something you're trying to open up, and I guess Sean just really didn't want to pay him the money. Like we said, it's kind of similar to Garrett Temple in a way, because Garrett Temple had the team option. They declined it, but it just feels like if they offered Jeff Green the taxpayer mid-level exception when things opened up, he would have agreed. But I also think, at the same time, I can talk myself into Rudy Gay, and maybe he can do a lot of the things that Jeff Green can do with probably less defensively, more offensively. And then if you get the combination of Patty Mills too, then you're feeling a lot better. I mean, as long as they can get Rudy Gay, even, or Otto Porter, at least somebody that can be in the wing that's a good player that can fill up a chunk of minutes. And they're not going to fill Jeff Green's role perfectly, but they're going to have their own impact in other ways. Like Otto Porter, if he signed with the Nets, he offers versatility, maybe not as big, but he's probably more 1-3, and I think his three-point shot and his ability off ball is better than Jeff Green, and even some of his playmaking is pretty good. I think Otto Porter's a guy that I've kind of come around on. It's just really I'm just really paranoid about his health.
Yeah, I need someone to me too. We've discussed that at length, but you know, if the Nets do sign Otto Porter Jr., which has been rumored, we have seen out there floating around on Twitter, and
the Nets are the favorite to land him too.
The Nets are the favorite, and you know, the taxpayer mid-level. You know, if you give me Otto Porter Jr., then you know, there's just a soft spot in my heart, I guess, for Jeff Green, recency bias, and everything.
And all the freaking highlights that he gave us.
Yeah, he was he was a one-man wrecking ball, but yeah, I think Otto Porter Jr. would be, you know, completely fine. But I need someone to start mocking up, you know, the Thanos meme, and you know, your Tyler Johnson, Alan Crabb, and Otto Jr. Someone get on that and hit me up in the DMs, because I need that in my life. And but yeah, it'll be interesting to sort of see how it pans out, Nick. You know, Gay, Porter, Otto Porter Jr., and Mills is scenario ideal number one. two of the three even better, one of the three even worse. But we'll see how it all pans out. I'm sure there'll be buyout candidates come February and such. But, you know, I'm an impatient person, Nicholas, and I want it all now. I want all of it. I want the big three to sign an extension. And I want them to bloody text our goddamn rookies. Like, come on, guys. We've got some cool new rookies that are going to be contributing for us. At least give them a text, James. It's probably Rolling Loud with, you know, Lil Uzi or something, or Travis Scott. And then, you know, Kyrie's probably busy, you know, doing some, you know, birthing class with his missus, and, you know, Kevin Durant's trying to win a gold medal. So I understand what's going on.
Yeah, we'll give him it hasn't even been a week yet, right? Yeah, it hasn't even been a week since they've been signed. Give him a little bit of time. I think they'll contact him, especially, you know, they're probably really excited. But also, I wonder if part of them was like, you know, maybe we're not going to reach out because I'm not sure if Sean's going to keep these guys, or, you know, let them go. I don't want to kind of get a relationship with them and then see them walk out the door. And just, again, the Spencer Dinwiddie thing, like you've kind of been mentioning a lot, Jack, is a pretty big domino. What happens with that, the potential re-sign and the potential of players being back in Brooklyn, we really have no idea. And the way that there's so many open active trades in the NBA right now, nothing is official until later on, until free agency officially starts. The Nets could get involved. It could be a 3-team, a 4-team, a 5-team. You don't really know. And then that's opening up some other avenues. But Jack, anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Guaranteed, we're gonna get the sign and trade 5 minutes after this podcast is finished recording.
Yeah, it seems pretty likely, and we'll be back as much as we can during this week, trying to give you as many podcasts as we can. But Jack, always a pleasure. Big thanks everybody for listening.